bless the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you for the legacy that you have given us in our dear mothers. Father God, we lift your word to you today, Lord God. Let it bring forth that which you desire to do in the hearts of every man, woman, and child here, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So guys, clap for your mothers one more time. Praise God. Now clap for the Lord. He's good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. Please take your seats. If you have a Bible, will you turn to the 90th Psalm, Psalm number 90, and we will get going. Praise God Almighty. Glory to God. This is a very inappropriate message that I'm preaching today, because you have to start by turning to your neighbor and tell them to get stuffed. Go on, you know you want to. You know that you want to. Go on, turn to your neighbor, look them straight in the eye and tell them, get stuffed. Go on. You know you want to. Auntie G, all the pain and sorrow he put you through. Get stuffed. Hallelujah to God. They say, what on earth is our pastor talking about? He had too much Guinness last night at his cousin's engagement party. But it was a dry engagement party, trust me. Praise the Lord. I looked everywhere for some spirit. No, I'm kidding. Praise Jesus. Psalm number 90. And we are going to look at verse number 13 to the bottom. Psalm 90 from verse 13 to the bottom. It says, do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days that you have afflicted us, and the years that we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to their children. And let the favor of the Lord God be upon us. Hallelujah. And to confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Praise the living God. Verse number 14 there, it's got a very special Hebrew word, verse 14. It says, oh, satisfy us in the morning. Now, I looked up that word, and in the original Hebrew, it's only used in terms of food and in terms of culinary things. And literally, the word literally means stuffed. Oh, stuff. What he's literally saying is, oh, stuff us. In the morning, turn to your neighbor and tell them, get stuffed. You see, I'm meaning it in a good way this morning. You thought it was some derogatory term, but I'm meaning it in a good way this morning, because we need to get stuffed. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, get stuffed. Can see some husbands and wives, you're settling old scores and some resentments there are being forgiven, etc. But you see, That word, that culinary word, oh, satisfy us in the morning. As I was praying and just studying out this word this morning, I just remembered something stupid I did last year. Last October, we were in Miami, Florida. And for those of you who know, how many of you know American pancakes? There's nothing. Have you seen or tasted anything similar? How many of you, you're yet to go to America? Okay, look, when you do, make sure there's a place called IHOP. Now, it's confusing sometimes because they're the International House of Prayer, but there's also the International House of Pancakes, and they're both called IHOP. Now, go to the carnal one first, the International House of Pancakes. I had, oh, dudes, if you're not hungry now, my goodness, by the end of this message, you're going to be starving. I went and we went to Miami, and this is the thing, you see, I lived in America for 6 months and we did a lot of prayer and fasting. Oh my goodness me, a lot, too much. Because it's difficult to fast in America. You know, they've got that streaky bacon. You know that one? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And you see, I'm working, you think I'm just messing around, but I'm actually working something on you this morning. And so they've got that streaky bake, they've got that buttermilk pancakes that like, they can go up to like a quarter inch thick. I can see the nodding and the smiling and Yes, sir. Pastor P is in the house this morning. It's like, carry on, Pastor. Please prophesy. And then, you know the maple syrup? I feel like just sitting down to breakfast like that, even right now. How many of you are hungrier than when I started? You see, faith comes by hearing the word, you see. And they just do something like, now, I got to Miami and I said to Joey, the first thing we've got to do, we've got to check into the International House of Pancakes. So we settled it. We were staying at Kathy Lechner's house and we settled it, right, we're going to the IHOP and we're going to like just get us an American breakfast. You remember that morning? And we sat down and I just raced through this pancake breakfast. 4 pancakes, bacon, 2 eggs, orange juice, maple syrup. I mean, the thing was drowning in maple syrup, you understand? And the whole thing was just like, oh man, it was so delicious. But then you know what happened? I was so into this thing that I wasn't paying any attention to my physical body. Suddenly. Now, some of you who are from West Africa, you'll have had this when you have pounded yam and then you try to pray. And the heavens above thee are brass. I mean, you can't get off the ground prayer-wise when you've had pounded yam because it's like ballast in an air balloon. That thing ain't going anywhere, you know? And suddenly it was like, doing. I felt like a cartoon. You ever see the one where they eat metal and then suddenly, doing, doing, doing? And my bed, I couldn't move, I couldn't think, I just sat there in this kind of like intoxicated stupor and just, oh my goodness, that was, now you see, I'm praying and I'm studying out this word this morning, and God brought me right back to that particular event. He says, oh, satisfied, man, I was so satisfied I could hardly move. Do you understand? And that's the way God wants us to be. He says, oh, satisfy us in the morning. Oh, stuff us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Hallelujah. How stuffed is that? That is get stuffed, stuffed. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get stuffed. Get stuffed. And turn to your other neighbor, tell him, get stuffed. Get stuffed. Hallelujah. This is a good thing. And I said to the Lord, I said, wow, tell me, how do we get there? Because it's one thing to know that God wants you satisfied. He wants you stuffed. He wants you so full of every blessing. That one thing I realize in my Bible, God doesn't know when to stop. Amen. God doesn't know when to stop. You remember that scripture says, you've anointed my head with fresh oil. And what happens to your cup? My cup runneth over. That's what the pancakes felt like that day when they're swimming in butter and maple syrup. They were running over. I was like exuberantly stuffed, exuberantly full up. And this is the way that God wants us to be. He says, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. I feel some stuffing coming on. You know when you have Christmas dinner and they have that stuff, they call it what? Stuffing. Now you know why. You understand? Because like when you've eaten it, how do you feel? Hallelujah. It's a good way to be. Now that's natural stuffing. That's bodily stuffing. If your body functions the right way, some of it is going to turn into energy. Some of it is going to turn into the other stuff. And you go your way and then you have to start the process all over again. But it's a good process. Amen. It's a good process. Thank God for food. Praise Jesus. Now, I said to the Lord this morning, I said, right, well, what's the process? Because behind every word, there's a how. And if I didn't tell you how, it would be unfair on you. Amen. Amen. So the how here, if you turn with me real quick to Psalm 27. And there's some, I don't know, for some reason, the New American Standard, the translators, wherever the word desire appears in the King James or the New King James, the New American Standard translators, they were kind of shy of that word. as if somehow desire is a bad thing. But you see, God tells us in his word to cultivate desire. It's very, very important to cultivate desire. In fact, that the whole process, the whole experiment that God went through with Abraham, as we heard this morning, was God was creating desire on the inside of Abraham. He said, Abraham, look up and see the stars. So shall your seed be. Abraham, look down and see the sand of the seashore. So shall your descendants be. So he can't look up without desire. He can't look down without desire. Do you see what I mean? The word is up, the word is down. Amen. And God wants us to be that way as well concerning things, concerning desire. Right, Psalm 27, and look at verse 4. He says, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. How many of you, you've got a New King James translation? Right. What does that word? It says, verse 4, one thing I have asked. What does it say?
Desired.
One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that thing shall I seek. This is what the Lord told me. He said, the area that creates desire is your soul. When your soul and your spirit work together, that's when things manifest in the realm of faith. It's very important to know how your faith works. Yes. You see, because desire comes from the area of the soul. Yes. The seek comes from your spirit. So your soul, as your soul desires things, your spirit starts to seek them. So if you can imagine that your spirit has an invisible arm called the arm of faith, right? It reaches into that invisible world and it seeks out the things that your soul desires. So your soul is like the brain of your being, and then your spirit is like the arm of your being, and it stretches out that arm by faith and it grabs the thing that you have desired. And it's funny, you know, as you grow, your human body, you don't have to think consciously anymore about moving. How many of you, when you learned how to drive, you really had to work hard to learn how to drive? How many of you passed your test the first time? How many of you passed the second time? How many the third? How many? Funke, hey, mommy. Wow. How many the fourth? How many the fifth? Bless Jesus, Ibby the shoe. Oh my goodness, I never knew that about you. It makes a lot of sense, but I never knew it about you. Hey, mommy. Now, you see, here's the process of driving, right? You sit down in the car, and then the whole thing is a mystery to you. Unless you're like, oh my goodness, listen to this story. Baby David, you know Samuel and Hannah, they've got their child, they call him Baby David. He's like, what is he, three or something? Two, he's two. He's a waddler. Now, guys, hide your car keys when I tell you this story, right? They are standing outside Asda. Samuel and Hannah are talking, standing outside Asda. Baby David is still in the car with little Joanna, because Joanna's asleep. They didn't want to disturb her, so they're just standing outside the car. The next thing, they hear this click, and the next thing, Baby David is in the car, 2 years old, and he's sitting there ready to drive off, and he's started the ignition on the car properly, like, and he's two. Imagine, another story, same car, same child, right? Honestly, hide your car keys, dudes. You just never know. Another story, the same family, same child, David, right? Samuel is having a nap in the afternoon because he's got to go out and get his daughter, Angeline, from school. So he's told Baby David, he said, look, we've got to collect Angeline from school, so make sure that you're nice and quiet, etc. So Samuel lies down, has a nap. Then it's time to get Angeline, so Samuel wakes up. He's thinking to himself, where's David? Why is the door shut? Because he left the door open so he could hear Joanna. Baby David thought that his dad meant that he needs to go and collect Angeline. He's 2 years old. Imagine. So he's closed the door to Joanna because he knows he can't carry Joanna. She's too heavy because he's only two. And then he walks out, he shuts the door,
gets the keys, unlocks the front door, goes out the front door, and he's down the stairs in the street, walking off to collect Angeline. Age two. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the guy is so switched on, man. Get that dude to a university quick. You understand? That is some brain that the guy's got. Imagine the ability to process things. But the point I'm making is this, right? When you sit down in a car, you have this this thing in front of you. They say, right, that's the steering wheel. Right, that's the gear stick. This one is the clutch. This one is the brake. This one is the accelerator. And so, like, you have to learn everything. So you start with these. I don't know how, what kind of drill you did, but back in the day when I passed my test, it was like you had to do mirror, shoulder, mirror, signal, maneuver. You remember that? Because that's the last exam I passed, so I know everything about it, you know? And then you have to do like mirror, signal, maneuver, and all this kind of thing, and then handbrake, you have to get in, you have to adjust the seat, make sure it's in neutral, make sure you can see the mirrors and all that kind of thing. How many of you were there? Yes. Right. But now, because you've driven so much, you don't even pay second attention to it. You can work the car like an extension of your physical body. Right? Now, the process of faith is the exact same thing. Jesus put it this way. You see, in Psalm 27, verse 4, we see it there. He says, one thing I have desired. That word asked is desired there. I don't know why they did that. One thing I have desired, and that's borne out in the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word for desire, but they've put asked, and it's a silly thing to do. But he says, that thing shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. So the desire, you know, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and what? He shall give you the desires of your heart. So the realm of desire is very, very important, right? Mark chapter 11 and the 24th verse. Mark 11, 24. Jesus put it this way. And another thing, I don't know, this is the only thing that I've found that I would change in the New American Standard Version, because that's the version I use mostly because it's so, so bang on accurate most of the time. But they don't like this word desire. Here it goes again. He says, therefore I say to you, now this is the famous passage of scripture where Jesus curses the fig tree, and then he describes to the disciples, line by line, the mechanics behind what he was doing. You see, God wants us to use our faith the way a mechanic will use a tool, a wrench. Do you understand? It's very important that we learn how to develop our faith, how to walk, just like, you know, there's some people, they'll get in a car and they'll drive off like it's an extension of them. Likewise, God wants us to use our faith like it's an extension of us. Amen. Amen. And it's easier said than done because we have to learn how it works. We've got to learn the mechanics of it. We've got to learn what happens when I push this, when I pull that, when I say that, when I do this, etc., etc. So if you look at that scripture there now, Jesus has cursed the fig tree and he's explaining the thing. He says, have the faith of God. Whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, but believe in his heart those things which comes to pass, he shall have what he says. That's verse 23. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, those things which you desire when you pray. Is that what it says in your translation? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Who's got a translation like that? I know the King James does it. And that word desire, again, is really, really important. It's very, very important. Because we have to create desire. We have to build desire. God said something to me even about the newspapers that we read. You know the red top newspapers, like the Sun, the Star, the Mirror, they're called red tops, right? You will never get any cleverer reading red top newspapers. Can I tell you why? It's not a derogatory thing or anything like that, but it's because the journalists who write those things, they have to write as though the person they're writing to has an understanding of 12 years old. That's what they'll teach you in media. If you've done media studies or any kind of public relations or even an English degree or anything like that, because different newspapers write to different IQ levels and different audiences. Right. So how many of you are older than 12 years old? Well, that I therefore prophesy to you that thou shalt learn nothing new from reading a red top. It's true. If you want to, you know, it's like somebody who only watches cartoons.
The Greek for that word where it says ask there actually is to beg, call for, crave, desire, or require.
And the thing that God is talking to us about today is the area of desire. Oh, satisfy us in the morning. Oh, stuff us. Stuff us full of these. Lord, well, Lord, how do we get stuffed? How do we get full of the things that you have for us? And he says, create desire. I will fulfill that desire. Your spirit has been made to seek out the things that you desire. One thing I have desired, that thing shall I seek. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Do you see how important desire is? Can you see how important it is to desire to do well? To desire promotion. And if they're not promoting you, if there's a wall in the way, then you seek God for an alternative way for you to be promoted. Amen. 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 Because promotion belongs to us. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but God is the judge. He'll put one up, he'll take another down. You see, and we are the ones who should be on the what? Up. Amen. The Bible says we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers. Now look at the mechanics of this, how it works again. So we've seen already that your spirit has an arm, the arm of faith. And desire creates the spirit to actually seek out what is there for us, right? We've got that far. And then Jesus himself says, those things which you pray, believe that you receive. And that word is desire. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You see, the believing that you receive them is the thing that releases the arm of faith to go out and get them. And people say, well, Lord, you know, why use faith like that? And God said this. He said, faith puts it in the realm of the untouchable. The devil can't touch it. If it's in the realm of faith, it can't be stolen. Because as long as you've got the faith for it, then it's going to come to pass. And I thought to myself, you know, God had already given me the example. How many of you remember my Argos example about when you shop at Argos and you go in and the first thing you do is you select what you want from the catalog, right? That's the desire. Then you seek. So you go to this machine and you put in the number. And then it asks you for the payment. So your faith is like the card that you stick in the machine, right? And then it debits your money. And this is where most Christians stop. The machine debits your money, right? And you say, right, okay. And you wait by the machine. I command this machine to produce. You understand? You get, oh, whosoever shall say unto this, start bashing it, punching it, kicking it, anoint it with oil, kick it once again, punch it. If you're anything like, oh, me and machines, Jesus, help me. Thank God CCTV only came in the last 20 years. There's a lot of busted vending machines on London Underground as a result of swallowing my money. How many of you, one of those vending, do you remember those Cadbury vending machines? Bear ripoff. Did anyone ever get any chocolate bar from that thing? And it feeds on your desire, doesn't it? Because the tube platform is crowded and you have to stand beside the machine. And then there's this like Cadbury and you look over, there's whole nut. Fruit and nut. How many of you have been there? And then you put your money in, nothing came out. You know what? We should do a class action against TFL. What would you think? Is there a lawyer in the house? Okay. You see, that's how the area of desire works. So back to Argos, right? You're standing there. Now, this machine is not going to produce the thing which you've bought. All it produces is a ticket. Right. Now, that's where most Christians stop. They stop with the ticket. This ticket's no good. The Bible calls it like precious faith. Because your faith is the ticket to that thing. Do you understand? As long as you've got the ticket, the thing is yours by right. Yes. It will manifest in the natural as long as you're in the right place at the right time speaking to the right person. Then you hand the ticket over and what happens is the thing manifests. Do you understand? It's a very, very simple illustration to follow, and by God's grace, you'll shop more at Argos so you'll understand the process. But many Christians, you see, they'll stop at the ticket and they'll wonder, this doesn't look like what am I supposed to do? Do you understand? They've got it, they're in the right place, but they haven't quite connected with the process. And faith is that process. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the mechanics of faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you look like you need to get stuffed. Hallelujah. Because that's the process of receiving those things from God. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Praise God. Now, I went a stage further with God and I said, Lord, right, okay, where are you taking us on this journey? Because God wants us to go for the great things. I remember my old pastor, Michael Bassett. How many of you remember Michael Bassett? He's ministered here. He was my pastor way back in the day in the early 90s. And he used to say things like, you know, make sure on your way home, he said, make sure you detour. If there's a prosperous area that you are, particularly if you live in a poor area, make sure you drive through a prosperous area on your way home. And drive that little bit slower and let desire start to manifest on the inside of you. I thought, wow, thank God for that man. Chances are I'm living in the house I am today as a result of doing what the guy said. Because, you see, to get to Tottenham, you had to drive through Hampstead. Oh, Lord, I am very, very grateful for all you have done for me. Do you understand? And there's a process. You see, your eyes process the images of those things, right? Then your soul can start to desire them, and then your spirit can start to what? Seek them. And the Bible says, you see, God will make a way where there was no way before. Does that mean he sits in heaven and just plots and plans and blah? No, he's given us the process of obtaining those things. He's given us the process of blessing. And this is what the Lord said, and it was just so, so powerful. He said this. He said, everyone should have a gospel. I thought, wow, well, Lord, what has that got to do with what I'm preaching on today? He said, everyone should have a gospel. And then he reminded me of Paul the Apostle. Do you remember Paul the Apostle? He used to say, according to what? My gospel. According to my gospel. So this gospel that we read, the bits that Paul wrote, are still known today as Paul's gospel. So way back, I got my gospel. The four square gospel: salvation, healing, prosperity, ambassadorship. That is my gospel. Four things that Jesus definitively bought and paid for on the cross: salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. Now, the good thing about having a gospel is that you can then draw from that gospel to see if what you desire fits that gospel. If it fits that gospel, then you can lay hold of it. You can start to desire of it. One thing I have desired, that thing I shall seek. Do you see what I mean? The Bible says, therefore, having the same spirit of faith, wherein it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We believe, therefore we also speak. So there's a process of believing and speaking. There's a process of desiring and seeking. Amen. That you can get the next level. You can get that promotion. You can get that prosperity. You can get that healing. You can get that next level of ministry. And I thank God for my gospel. Anytime I'm stuck, I just look at my gospel. I think, right, well, what things do I need to develop? Okay, in the area of salvation, I need this, I need that, I need the other. In the area of healing, I need this, I need that, I need the other. Thank God for healing. You never know when you'll need it. Friday night, I was due to come out to the all night. And I'd rested before, so I was getting up and preparing myself, getting ready. And the next thing, I got this shooting pain in my eye, like real shooting, like somebody had stabbed me with a drawing pin. That's what it felt like, in the eye. Anyone ever had pain in the eye? It's horrible, man. It's really horrible. And so I'm suffering that. I said, Joey, I'm not even sure I can go. I said, every time I blink, I said, it's like being stabbed in the eye. I don't know what's wrong. I said, I can't. And the thing started weeping and all kinds of stuff. I looked in the mirror. I couldn't see anything except I saw this big white bulge under, you know, the white of your eye. It started to like bulge out from within. I said, hey, what kind of thing? Because you hear about these things in certain regions of Ghana. You understand? We'll say no more. And so I'm saying to myself, well, like, what is it? I said, Joey left the room anyway. She went out ahead of me. And I said to the Lord, I just stopped and I prayed. I said, God, I said, I need to be at the all night. I feel I need to be there. I want to minister. I want to sing your praises. I want to worship you. I said, but God, I can't go this way. This just isn't right. It's just not, it's not feeling right. I don't know where it's going. Do I need to go to A&E or anything like that? I said, God, I have no doctor. I depend on you. And last time I went to the doctor, friend, it was 1991. So what am I going to do now? It's now what, 2014? So they probably burned my records. You understand? Like, what am I going to do? I said, Lord, I depend on you. I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to get ready in faith as though I can actually make it there. And so I got dressed, I got ready, and I started to walk down the stairs. And the thing was still, it felt like broken glass was in there or something like that. And I just couldn't, make my way. I went downstairs, literally as my foot touched the bottom step to go out, instantly I was healed. Instantly. Absolutely, just instantly. Now, I didn't know. You see, daily I confess that he bore my griefs, he carried my sorrows, the chastisement necessary for me to obtain peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I'm healed. I don't know when I'm saying those, when I'm declaring those words, I don't know when I need to draw on that reserve of healing that God has given me as a result of confessing and believing it. But thank God for it. Last night we were coming home from the engagement party and I was driving home. The next thing I just felt something in the corner of my eye, a bulge, and so I just picked it out like that. And I thought, you know, it felt kind of solid. So I thought, you know what, I'll keep it between my finger and thumb until we get home. So I'm driving with this gungy thing home. And I got this little eyeglass from back in the day from when I used to fence jewellery. And so, shush, I'm preaching. I'm a good boy now. Hey, cut that out of the message, please. And so I look in this eyeglass and I see that there's some, I don't know even what kind of creature it was. It was like some creature, like legged creature, but it had like a serrated thing on the end, a black thing, microscopic. Black thing with like virtually like razor blade things coming out of it as the hook was. I'd never seen an insect like it. And this thing obviously was trying to either like bite in or like scar the edge of my eye. And my eye was obviously fighting it, you know? And I thought, wow, God, you are amazing. Because by now this thing was like covered in, you know, the way your eye produces gunge to, and so I had to like pick it apart with a needle. And I saw this thing. I said, wow. But it just made me think, you know, how many things are out there that you need? How many, I don't know if they've even counted the number of things that can go wrong with a human body. Is there a list, Funke, of anything? No. It's innumerable, right? You've got specialists in virtually everything. You've got podiatrists, phlebotomists, whatever that is. Oncologist. Cantorologists, sophomologists, oh my goodness me. We don't know, but thank God. Thank God that we know the process of how to walk in healing. Thank God we know the process of how to prosper. Supposing you go to work tomorrow, they tell you you're fired. What are you going to do? Exactly. The only thing, the Bible says, count it all joy, brethren, when you enter diet. Why? Because the fact that you're sacked means you're going to get promoted in your next job. Hallelujah. You can't keep a good thing down. Praise God. Stand to your feet. We'll thank God for his word. One thing I have desired. that shall I seek. Father God, I pray that you give everybody in this house a revelation of the four square gospel. Christ the Savior, Christ the healer, Christ the prosperer, Christ the one who takes the worthless and makes them ambassadors. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you teach us more and more how to become mechanics in the area of faith so that we can get these things right, so that we can drive off happy and blessed, prosperous, more full of your word than we were before, more desiring to be in your house, to dwell in your presence, to bless your holy name, more willing to become that which the Bible says we already are, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lenders to many nations and not the borrowers, that your banner may be raised and that your glory may be seen. And Father, as we close out the first quarter of 2014, the year of glory, we thank you for every wow that you have given us in this house. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God. Just thank the Lord right now. We thank you for those wows. We thank you for those powerful testimonies. To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in the saints. We give you the praise and we give you the honor, God. Lord, as we enter quarter two, as the prophet Nana comes this weekend, Lord God, to be a blessing to us. Father, we draw already from that heavenly deposit, the things which you have from heaven to reveal to us, to display to us, to demonstrate to us, and to empower in us. Father, we receive those things in the mighty name of Jesus. We look forward to it, Father. Our expectation is raised. One thing I have desired, and that shall I seek. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Let everyone here be stuffed full of your blessing, stuffed full of your loving kindness, stuffed full of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.